Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stratford Hall, our focus this morning, and good friend Karen Daly is back, the president of Stratford Hall in Westmoreland County. Karen, it's been too long. Good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. It's great to be back with you here in Fredericksburg.
For people who don't know, Stratford Hall is a great place, and you can drive there with no traffic. You're right next door to Westmoreland State Park, and it is just filled with history.
Indeed, we've got almost 2,000 acres of history, Ted, right in Westmoreland County, as you mentioned. It's a short drive just down Kings Highway and a beautiful drive. I mean, just past, you know, gorgeous bucolic agrarian landscape, and then you arrive at the incredible historic Stratford Hall. Our mission there is to give voice to Stratford's people, places, and past, to engage, educate, and inspire. We've got over 70 buildings on our almost 2,000 acre campus, including, of course, the 1738 Great House, a real Georgian architectural gem, and the incredible history of the Lee family.
I don't know if there's anything like the Great House. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, of all the history around here, and we surely do in this part of Virginia. But the Great House really stands, just its size is kind of what gets you.
Absolutely. There is truly, Ted, no other house like it. It is a truly unique architectural form in colonial America, constructed in 1738, built by enslaved Africans and African Americans using materials that were either harvested from or made right there on the site, established in 1738 by Thomas Lee. It is what one architectural historian refers to it as, a cacophony of brick. It's just absolutely magnificent, and a truly unusual form, with the chimney stacks, I mean, just silhouetted against the bright blue sky overlooking the Potomac River. It's a spectacular piece of Georgian architecture.
And a cacophony is something that a historian or somebody who works there would use that word. Now, when you walk around inside that house, it's just so immense.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge structure, and it's built all on one floor. I mean, of course, it's a two-floor structure, but the lower level was entirely used for service when it was first built. The upper level was the level reserved for the Lee family, and so you had the private and public spaces there. Just really an incredible site. We're open for tours, so you can tour the Great House year-round, Wednesday through Sunday, throughout the year, and wonderful audio tours that you can take, Ted, so you can get all different perspectives of the history.
I was going to ask you if you still had that, because I can remember when that was went into done a few years ago, and it was one of the first in Virginia, as I remember, when that was all being. I remember doing some shows on that. And that's a great way to go through the house.
It really is. And what we love about it, and what visitors seem to love, is that they have a lot of choice. And so, of course, now when everyone has their personal devices, you can actually choose among all five of the audio tours as you're touring. So you might be listening to one focused on the Lee men, which is narrated in part by Robert E. Lee, who, of course, was born there at Stratford Hall. Or you can, maybe you're there with your wife and she's listening to the one focused on the women of Stratford. We have a kid-friendly version now as well. And so we think something for everyone. And if you want to switch while you're in the middle of a tour, you can do that too and move among the different tours.
How many buildings did you say again? Because that number was just massive.
I know. We've got over 70 structures throughout the property. So many of those are historic. Some were rebuilt on historic foundations during the early restoration period in the 1920s and 30s. And then, of course, we have some modern purpose-built buildings as well, our visitor center with incredible exhibitions on display for visitors.
And so many things happened there. I can remember a few years ago, there was an eagle was sent back into the wild, and it made for great pictures.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. I think one of our top Facebook photos or Facebook posts this past year was one of our team members caught a majestic eagle just poised on the fence at Stratford. And truly, I think it went viral. But we regularly see them. The eagles nest on the Potomac, so they're regularly out flying around the grounds. I once was touring family around and went over to the overlook on the Potomac River, and a pair of eagles just swooped down in front of us over the Potomac, and it just incredible patriotic majestic birds.
A couple of years ago, you took me around all the property, and I mean it was the better part of a morning.
Oh, absolutely.
We drove around.
Absolutely. It's, again, I mean, almost 2,000 acres, Ted. We've got miles of hiking trails, so you can get out and explore on foot if you'd like. We also have the historic tobacco rolling road. You can drive down and do a driving tour if you'd like and head down to the historic mill, the grist mill, and see the tobacco rolling road on your way. And we think you can really fill more than a day at Stratford, and certainly in the region. So we've got lodging on site, Ted. You could come and stay with us.
That's what we talked about a couple of years ago, and I never realized that, and I'm going to do that sometime, just because that's another great thing that you've added over the last few years.
Oh, it's an incredible opportunity. We've got two guest houses and also lovely cabins, wooded but comfortable.
Yeah.
We've got a number of folks who have caught on and stay when they come in for our Wine and Oyster Festival and other activities like we're hosting this weekend. But it's wonderful to come any time of year. And particularly now as we start to get into fall foliage season, I mean, to come and spend a nice quiet weekend, do some hiking on the trails, explore the Great House and the exhibitions.
It also is a great property if you're looking to get a family picture for a Christmas card. The especially down by the water or with the Great House, there are a number of things. Take your family and get that taken care of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got some beautiful fields. We have the incredible architecture, the Potomac River. I mean, you've got no shortage of settings that you can choose for your family candids.
I meant to look this up and I didn't this weekend, but the Stratford Hall and the Lees, aren't there two Lees who signed the Declaration of Independence?
Absolutely, Ted. Yes. So we've got incredible Revolutionary War history at Stratford Hall. So the generation of Lees during the colonial period were really pivotal in that early era. Richard Henry Lee and Francis Lightfoot Lee, the only two brothers to sign the Declaration.
Yeah.
They grew up at Stratford. And Richard Henry Lee, Ted, is actually the one who on June 7th offered the Resolution of Independence to the Continental Congress. So he's the one who made the motion that we should declare that these colonies of and ought right to be free and independent states. So he set the Declaration of Independence into motion and set up the vote on July 2nd.
There are so many structures around here, of all the original structures that you often think about, you know, all the conversations, especially in the colonial period, all the conversations that would have taken place. Well, you think about that with Stratford Hall and just the forming of a country.
Oh, incredible. I mean, the men of Westmoreland County, the Lees and those in, throughout the region were really pivotal. The Leedstown resolves after the Stamp Act really set out this fervor in Westmoreland County and put Virginia really at the forefront of the Revolutionary era in this effort for freedom and independence. So it was risky. And, you know, Richard Henry and Francis Lightfoot, of course, signed the Declaration, but their brothers were active. Arthur was in England serving as a spy. Their sister was in Philadelphia hosting, you know, different delegations as they were debating independence. And so it really was a formidable family critical to our freedom and independence during that revolutionary period.
Well, and Karen, you think Colonial Williamsburg and all that it has to offer, but you go to Stratford and it's the architecture has that look, but it's you're looking at one, you know, one important family in how they lived, and it's to not go to Stratford, you're really missing out on history in this area.
Oh, for sure. And I think there's really no place like it. I mean, Ted, of course, we've got no shortage of incredible historic sites throughout the Commonwealth.
Right.
But Stratford has so much of its original architecture, outbuildings, and surrounding landscape preserved. And the region is still so bucolic that you really, I think, get a sense of stepping back in time that's more palpable at Stratford than I would argue at any historic site.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was thinking that the same thing that day we drove around. Just the when you had said we'll drive around the property, I'd figured an hour at most,
right.
And it is so vast, and there are so many things to see,
yeah.
and you really do get a good feel of what life was like in the colonial times.
Absolutely. And you've got, of course, the incredible Great House, but we also have the historic kitchen. We've got a number of other outbuildings, the Overseer's House. We've got stone slave quarters. We've got the incredible grist mill.
Yeah.
So you can really come to understand, I think, not just the revolutionary spirit of the Lees, but all of those individuals, the enslaved community, the enslaved Africans and African Americans who helped built and support the plantation for generations. I mean, you really get to understand what life would have been like for all those who were living and working there in that historic place.
StratfordHall.org is the website. You mentioned the Wine and Oyster Festival. That's this weekend. We're going to come back and talk about that. We're also going to talk about a number of other things, including a podcast that Stratford Hall does that is just unparalleled. It's so good. And we'll get into that too. But we'll talk about the Wine and Oyster Festival that this weekend coming up with Karen Daly from Stratford Hall. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Daly in this morning from Stratford Hall in Westmoreland County, stratfordhall.org. Great Facebook page. Whoever does your Facebook page, they do a really good job of keeping things really current and just a lot of information there.
Oh, thanks, Ted. Yeah, we try to give a good assortment so you can find out not just about events that are coming up, but also a little bit about the preservation work that's going on on site with our historic buildings, some about the history on this day, anniversary posts, and so forth. So thank you.
There was a posting the other day with these shoes. And talk about how you can see them.
Yes, absolutely. We've got incredible material culture and archaeology that's on display in our Stratford at the Crossroads exhibition. So in the visitor center, when you come on to the site, you can explore that. Again, 7 days a week, year round, you can come in and tour the exhibitions. And we're working on a new exhibition of an orientation gallery that'll be opening in 2026 for the 250th anniversary of our nation that's coming up.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too and how Stratford Hall's involved there. But first, this weekend, this is a big, big weekend, Saturday and Sunday at Stratford Hall.
It is. It's our Wine and Oyster Festival, Ted. So every third weekend in September, we host this, and it brings thousands of folks to the Northern Neck to celebrate the rich cultural tradition of wine and oysters in the region. So we'd love to have you all come on out Saturday and Sunday. We've got vendors from throughout the Commonwealth. There'll be Virginia wineries, coastal oysters, local food trucks, breweries. There's artisan booths and live music, so concerts throughout both days, and a kid zone as well.
This takes place right out front or near the Great House, isn't it?
It does indeed. It's on the big grassy oval, which is right in front of the Great House. So you can tour the historic buildings. They're open Saturday and Sunday until 2. And then you can also just listen to the music, pull up your lawn chairs and your blankets, and sip some wine while you're enjoying some delicious oysters.
This is a big, big deal, just because I know a lot of people that come. I can tell when things are a big deal when they get posted a lot, and when people post things on Facebook, and they do at this event particularly.
Absolutely. And this is the last week, Ted, to buy your tickets in advance. So we'd encourage y'all to get online and buy those so you have them for this weekend. We've got a couple party tents still available. So if you want to bring your own private group and have your own private tent to enjoy the festival, there's still a few available on Saturday morning and Sunday. And that's a lot of fun as well. I've had a bit of a family reunion a couple of years at the Wine and Oyster Festival, and then had folks stay overnight in our cabins and our accommodations on site.
Isn't that fun to do something like that there?
It's a great spot for reunions, for retreats. I mean, the festival is also just a lot of fun to bring friends to. So we see a lot of groups that meet up there, groups of ladies out for a week. Weekend. Also, a lot of families will meet up, and with the kids zone, there's activities to keep the kids occupied while you're enjoying your oysters and sipping on your wine.
StratfordHall.org, is that the where you get
tickets? Absolutely, that's where you head for the tickets, Ted. Yes.
And again, is this this Saturday and Sunday? The other thing that fits so well is when you talk about oysters, just because that plays such an important role in the Northern Neck, along with wine and this. The festival, you've been doing it now for a number of years.
We have, absolutely. And it's continued to grow. Coming out of COVID, we had our biggest crowd ever, our first Wine and Oyster Festival back following COVID. And it's just a great opportunity to bring the community together. We draw folks from all over the state and even, you know, throughout the Mid-Atlantic who come in for it now. And it's become a bit of a tradition. So, again, lots of fun. And for those folks who might prefer beer or perhaps some bourbon, we'll have beer on,
of course,
right, on tap, and there will be distilleries there as well, so you can have your choice of beverages for the weekend.
Well, and like we said, to get to Stratford Hall is so easy. It's you don't run into a traffic problem that you sometimes run into in some other areas.
Not at all. Particularly coming here from Fredericksburg, Ted. Yeah. I mean, it's so easy. I mean, it's one road. You just take Kings Highway all the way out. You make a left, and you're there.
That's
at
it.
Stratford. So it's really simple to get to. A beautiful drive. We're so grateful to all of our sponsors who help make the Wine and Oyster Festival such a success. Our platinum sponsors, Clements Tent and Virginia Tourism Corporation, particularly, really assist with that. And just a number of local sponsors.
I forgot the directions. You don't even need to use Waze.
You
unless
don't.
You want to see how far you're. Unless you want to see how far you are.
Right.
Because traffic is never a problem, and you do.
Nope.
You make a left, and there are signs that tell you.
Absolutely, yes. As you head down Kings Highway, you'll pass the Stratford Hall signs. And if you've hit Montrose, you've gone a little bit too far, but you can always stop in Montrose and enjoy some of the great shops and restaurants there.
Right.
And then circle back.
Right. Well, and the fact that you've got you mentioned the kids zone. Mm-hmm. It's a very family friendly event where everybody's going to walk away with a memory.
Absolutely. We've got a barrel train ride, which the kids love. We see families out listening to the music at the concert and throwing frisbees around. So it is absolutely a great weekend event for the whole family.
Well, and what this means for tourism for not only Virginia but also mm-hmm. Westmoreland and in the Northern Neck, this is a big deal.
Absolutely. And the Virginia Tourism Corporation has been such a strong supporter, Ted, I think because of that. Of course, Virginia is for lovers, and it's mm-hmm. for oyster lovers and history lovers and wine lovers, and we've got all of that this weekend at Stratford. So we'd love to have folks come out and stay the night. Stay with us at Stratford, stay next door at the State Park or at one of our local B&Bs or inns in town, but it's a wonderful opportunity to get out and explore all of the rich history in the region.
Besides having fun, I'm sure that there are people that come to this for the wine and the oysters, but get there and look around and start saying, I didn't know this was all here. And you hope that they, you know, come for the wine and oysters and, you know, also get a little history involved.
Absolutely. And that's why we're so excited to be able to have the Great House and our historic buildings open for touring, because it really is an opportunity for folks who maybe come just for the wine and oysters, but then while they're there, learn about this rich Revolutionary War history and the Lee family and this incredible architecture, as well as all the outdoor recreation that's available at Stratford, the trails that we have, the Potomac River overlook. There's really a lot to do and a lot to bring you back, even after you've had your fill of wine and oysters.
Well, there's a lot of planning that has to go into something like this.
Absolutely. There's a lot of buildup for it, and then it's a lot of fun, but we've been doing it for a number of years, so it's a well-oiled machine at this point, and we'll be continuing our spring festivals as well, Ted, so we can have folks out for both a beautiful fall season and then again in the spring.
I forgot about the spring festival, so you have the two of them.
We do now, and that one's going to be focused on barbecue and brews, so if you want that, come back and visit us in the spring. We think we've got something for everyone at Stratford.
Again, the Wine and Oyster Festival is this Saturday. What are the times on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, so on Saturday, let's see, we are 10 to 6 on Saturday,
okay.
And I believe 11 to 4, 11 to 5 on Sunday.
Okay, check into that.
I
didn't think that we had done that, but if you want to know, you can go to stratfordhall.org and
absolutely, and
find out all that information. So, and again, the fact that you can, that there are opportunities to stay there or stay nearby if you wanted to. Do you have people that come for both days?
We do, absolutely. You can get tickets for both days, and we've got also breakfast catered on site this year. So if you want to spend the night or show up early, we've got breakfast in the dining hall. So you can come and have a beautiful catered breakfast by 1710 Tavern. We're working with our partners out of Tappahannock, Virginia.
Okay.
And then you can enjoy the festival. So yeah, stay with us on site. Then you don't even have to move the car.
There is something about these kind of festivals at such a historic place. That just it's more than just like going to the fair or something. That to have it at such a historic place and have it right in the shadow of the Great House makes this really stand out from a lot of other festivals we talk about.
Oh, we think so for sure. And truly, I mean, wine and oysters, I mean, yeah. We're such an important part of Virginia history. I mean, the Lees were hosting lavish dinner parties at Stratford Hall, over 200 years ago. And so we just love the opportunity to be able to bring out that cultural tradition, that history through the festival while you're on site, actually, literally in the shadow of the Great Hall. So you can tour and see how the Lees would have enjoyed those delicacies with their guests hundreds of years ago. And then you can enjoy your own out on the Oval in front.
StratfordHall.org is where you can get tickets. It's this Saturday and Sunday, the Oyster Festival at Stratford Hall. Karen Daly is here, the president of Stratford Hall. It's been long enough since you've been in here. Were you always interested in history?
I was, Ted. I think, I mean, I was raised, my mom is an elementary school teacher. My father is a big history buff. So
okay.
I grew up, while friends were off at water parks and Great Adventure, my family was at Valley Forge and Colonial Williamsburg, right, for family vacations.
That makes
sense. And then I went to college down at William & Mary, and so was surrounded by the incredible colonial history that Williamsburg has to offer. So I fell in love with it, and I think that the work of preservation of these historic sites, these historic places, is really critical. And I think we can learn more about building stronger futures together for our communities if we look back and learn from the past.
And just the preservation efforts that continue to go on, and you're thankful what's been done before, and
absolutely,
and what's going on now around here. Things are continuing to be rewritten because of things that are being discovered.
Absolutely. And I think, Ted, something that has been really rewarding to me or fulfilling is that, I've been able to learn about the incredible role that women played in this historic preservation movement. Hmm. I mean, Stratford Hall, for example, is an organization governed by a board of women, and it has been since its origination in 1929.
Interesting.
Modeled on the Mount Vernon Ladies Association, right? The group of women who banded together to save Mount Vernon, the first preservation movement in our nation. And really, women played such incredible roles in saving so many of these historic sites and these historic materials. Even, I mean, if you think about family history, Ted, historic recipes and family history. I mean, it's women who have really been at the forefront of that. And so it's just immensely rewarding to be able to play a small part in stewarding this historic site today to be able to live on and continue to inspire for generations to come.
No, just over the river, Kenmore has the same story.
Absolutely.
About women saving Kenmore.
Yes.
Karen Daly here this morning, the president of Stratford Hall. Again, the Wine and Oyster Festival this Saturday and Sunday, StratfordHall.org for tickets. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Stratford Hall, our focus this morning. Stratford Hall is in Westmoreland, and if you have not been there, you should go there. StratfordHall.org, the website for all the information and just all the really good stuff. Are you doing archaeology, or has all the archaeology that needs to be done been done there?
Oh, Ted, it'll never be done,
That's
right?
That's what I thought.
We're right now we're doing a lot of cataloging. So okay. for many years we had done partnerships and field schools with the University of Mary Washington, and working with Doug Sanford from UMW. And so we have amassed a significant collection of artifacts from throughout the property that we're still in the process of cataloging, so they can be available for researchers. But meanwhile, we do still do targeted archaeology. We have had two recent projects underway. We did some work on our African-American cemetery on the property so that we could try to more clearly identify where the specific grave locations are, and then see if we can start to connect any of those to the individuals that we know were on site. And then we've also been working on our east steps. If you've come to visit Stratford recently, you'll realize that the east steps that were Colonial Revival additions have been taken off. They were causing some damage to the historic brickwork behind the stairs. And so we've been doing architectural and also archaeological work there to see if we could figure out what the plan was for the original colonial era stairs. So stay tuned. We're hoping to have some more on that in the coming months.
Okay. The house itself, it looks like it's in great shape and holding up well.
I mean, incredible shape. And I think but of course it's an ongoing process. I mean, anyone who has an old house knows that there's just perpetual, you know, repair and maintenance work that you have to do. And when you've got a property as large and as incredible as Stratford, it's something we take really seriously. So this summer, for example, we've been working on restoration of the windows in the Great Hall. So there was some significant work done in that area. So you may have seen some scaffolding if you were on site recently as our craftsmen were working on that. But ongoing preservation and restoration work. We're about to embark on a complete restoration of the Spring House, which is kind of down the hill behind the Great House. It's on its original Lee-era foundation, but was really... virtually devastated, destroyed by a hurricane back before COVID. And so thanks to significant investment by the Commonwealth of Virginia, we're going to be able to restore that spring house. And so that'll be something we'll be following online, and you can come and see that work underway. Should be starting up next month.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, you do just a great job of telling the story of what's going on at Stratford Hall even right now. So great things to follow.
Absolutely, yes. Check us out on Facebook or Instagram. And then, of course, also come to visit. We hosted a series of preservation tours this past spring. May is Preservation Month, and so we're looking to repeat those again this coming year.
Okay.
So if you're specifically interested, Ted, in the preservation work, in the buildings, those are a great opportunity to hear a little bit more kind of behind the scenes of what's going on to care for these historic structures.
I'm sure when there are storms and big storms that come through, there's always, I'm sure, a worry just because there are a lot of big trees and just don't want, I mean, things happen. We all deal with that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something. I mean, we just had folks on site last week, I believe, taking down a tree that wasn't healthy and had the potential to cause some damage both to humans and to historic property. So we want to make sure that doesn't happen to any of our historic sites.
One of the great things about having a historic site like Stratford Hall is you can financially help in the preservation, the upkeep, and just all the things that we talk about.
Absolutely, and it's an ongoing process, of course, Ted. So we are always welcoming folks who want to get more involved or who might want to philanthropically support our efforts to reach out. You know, there is, again, no shortage of work to be done to ensure that these incredible historic buildings can continue to survive and inspire for future generations. Stratford Hall has been in existence as a museum, open to the public, since 1929. It survived so well in part because after the Lees lost it, the families that owned it and lived in it after, up through the Stewart family, who is the family that eventually sold the property to the ladies in 1929 to make a museum, they really cared for it so lovingly through those generations. But still a lot of work to be done, you know, from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and still today. So always looking for support, and want to share more about that effort that's going on. I had a colleague once who shared a phrase that I often use, which is that, you know, preservation is perpetual and excellence is expensive. So, yeah. You know, again, no shortage of work to do at Stratford.
Well, and Karen, I'm sure that what you do, it's kind of like you talk to college presidents, and they talk about how they're in it for education, but that they spend much of their time raising money and trying to fundraise, and I'm sure a lot of you at Stratford Hall, that's the case.
Absolutely. I mean, we're always looking for ways to grow our base of support. I mean, this is an incredible colonial estate,
right,
that, you know, the generations of the Lee family, you know, that were raised in and grew up in. It tells, you know, a broad and diverse story of early America. And we really think Stratford's story is America's story. So there's great work going on at Stratford, and we want to make sure that these stories can continue to be told and inspire future generations. So lots of opportunities to get involved and to support that work.
So StratfordHall.org, just look, I think there's a donate button.
There is indeed, yes.
So you can see where you fit into that. But like you say, if you're someone who does, you can give a lot. Give a lot, because there is so much. There is just the history of this region, and especially the history of the Northern Neck.
Yeah.
It really, this is the hub of it all.
It is. It's incredible. And Ted, one project that we're working on right now is a roof restoration project. We've got three roofs on three historic structures that are going to be repaired or replaced this coming year. Our historic stables, which actually today house some of our historic carriage collection. We've got two different carriages that Lafayette himself rode in during his tour of America. Yes, indeed. And they're on view in our historic stables. The roof on that building is going to be replaced. We're working on the roof of the Council House, which is the structure used for a lot of our programs and events, and then also on the historic grist mill. And so we received a lovely challenge grant from a foundation, the Mary Morton Parsons Foundation in Richmond, and we're going to be raising dollars to match that grant to be able to replace and restore those three roofs on campus.
Well, there you go. If you want to get involved in a project, there you go, there.
Yeah, indeed. And you can check them out when you're on site this weekend for the festival, or anytime you come to tour Stratford. Yeah. I mean, these are important buildings, and it takes a lot of effort to make sure they're in good working order.
One of the things, and this is where Stratford Hall, that you're right up in the times. You have the best history podcast I've ever heard.
Oh, Ted, thank you. Yes, we've got a wonderful director of research in our Jesse Ball DuPont library, Dr. Gordon Blaine Steffi. He had a career in academia and then decided to pursue public history and started with us about 2 years ago now, and developed this microcast, he calls it. It's kind of a short mini podcast.
Yeah.
So it's about 15 minutes. It's a nice snippet of history, dynamic, focused on bringing out archival research from the archives and the historic manuscript collection and sharing the life and times of the colonial Lees.
He's got the latest one is in one that I'm gonna post, just because there's so much around here being talked about right now with Lafayette on Lafayette.
Absolutely, yes. So again, I mentioned we have the two carriages that Lafayette rode in. We're celebrating his bicentennial, you know, visit back to America, and certainly, you know, Lafayette worked with and interacted with the Lees. So yes, check out the Stratford Mail is the podcast. It's available on our website, StratfordHall.org, as you've mentioned, Ted, and really gives you a great insight into early American history. One of my favorite episodes was the one that focuses on death customs.
Yes.
I mean, it, you know, just talks about, I mean, how that would have been such a different and more personal experience, you know, in the colonial era than it is, of course, for us today. So
he does so much research, but he's not just telling the research. Mm-mm. He uses voices, and it really is a dramatic kind of podcast.
Yeah.
And I've not heard anything like it.
It's really dynamic. I think Dr. Steffi is wonderful to listen to. So much information that you can gain, but it is really just, I mean, they're like little mini soap operas in some cases. I mean, they're entertaining as well as really informative.
He was. We did a show with him last year and came in and was just so unassuming.
Yeah.
And just said, yeah, I'm putting something together. And then once he described it, and then when I went back and listened to some of them, I just thought there is so much information, and it's all mainly from the records and things that he has gleaned from Stratford Hall.
Absolutely, and we invite researchers to make appointments to come in and be able to access those documents in our collections as well themselves. I mean, there's a tremendous trove of materials. We've got a library and archives that contains over 15,000 pages of written material at Stratford Hall. Most of it housed in our Jesse Ball DuPont Memorial Library on site. We've also got over 4,000 pieces of fine and decorative arts items. So ton of material culture and archival material for researchers and the public alike to come and learn from.
You and I, the day you took me around, we started in the libraries, and it's the one of those libraries you see in movies of where the books go way up high.
Right, floor to ceiling.
it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The information that you have and the books that you have.
Yeah, it's an incredible collection. The library itself was funded by the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation. Jesse Ball DuPont was one of our early board members, a real benefactor to Stratford Hall, and her foundation has been really supportive of the entire Northern Neck region and the Commonwealth of Virginia. Virginia was really important to Jesse Ball. Her family roots are from the Northern Neck. And so, yes, we're grateful to have that incredible amenity for researchers, but also for the public. We use it routinely for programs. Our annual Lee Lecture will be hosted there in January. And so, it's a great space to be able to come and see.
The Lee Lecture. What happens, what happens at a Lee Lecture?
Oh, well, so in around January 19th, which is Robert E. Lee's birthday every year, we host a Civil War focused lecture. And so we will be hosting that this coming January. We had Professor Cushman last January speaking about the Civil War memoir that Lee didn't write, right? Because Robert E. Lee did not actually publish a memoir. So he dug into that history. And so we host a different scholar every year for that Lee lecture.
Did he spend a lot of time at Stratford?
He did. He had done research for some of his publications and his books, and then I believe by nature of preparing his lecture, he then published an article in the Civil War Monitor, I believe is the name of the periodical that just came out, focused on the Civil War memoirs. And he's been back on site since then for some of our programs, our First Africans Day program this summer, and doing, I believe, continued research in our materials.
So the Lee Lecture.
Yes.
Get ready for that in January.
Yes.
Robert E. Lee himself was he around? Did he spend much time on the Northern Neck?
So Robert E. Lee was born at Stratford Hall, and he and his family lived at Stratford until he was about 3 years old, and then his mother moved him up to Alexandria, where her family was, and so he grew up in Alexandria, but always looked back really warmly at his time at Stratford. He would visit his half brothers who were there during his childhood, and so during the Civil War, he spoke. He wrote to his wife about really wishing he could come back to Stratford. He never did return as an adult, and of course, we all know, wound up out in Lexington.
Yeah.
As the president of Washington College and now Washington Lee University.
Yeah. Just the Lees and the ties that they had to the Northern Neck, but really, you know, all of Virginia and colonial America. It's
just absolutely.
That's why you really can spend a lot of time at a lot of different places at Stratford Hall.
You can, and Ted, we talked about Richard Henry and Francis Lightfoot, of course, the signers of the Declaration in that generation, but Robert E. Lee's father was Light Horse Harry Lee, who, of course, was a famed Revolutionary War soldier, worked closely with George Washington, and of course, George Washington's birthplace is just up the street from Stratford, Wakefield, and so you can get some really incredible history throughout the region. You can make Stratford your base and stay with us, and then explore from there.
Oh, you can. Yeah, just in that area. There's so much, but you can go from there and you can then pick your spot in Virginia, and it all fits together.
Absolutely. We've got multiple presidents' birthplaces right in the Northern Neck. So you've got Madison and Monroe, as well as Washington, and all, again, just a quick jump away from Stratford Hall. So yeah. Incredible history.
StratfordHall.org, the website, StratfordHall.org. Karen Daly, the president at Stratford Hall. Here, we'll wrap this up. We'll come back and conclude this morning, again, talk about the Wine and Oyster Festival this weekend at Stratford Hall. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Karen Daly in this morning from Stratford Hall in Westmoreland, stratfordhall.org. Couple things before we get out of here. The 250th anniversary, you mentioned that at the beginning of the show, and Stratford Hall is going to be involved with that.
Absolutely. We, Ted, we're involved in a coalition on the Northern Neck, Northern Neck 250, and we're working to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and the birth of our nation. And so that's coming up. 2026 is going to be the big highlight year, of course, because that's the actual 250th anniversary of the Declaration. But we'll be starting events coming up in 2025. So the Northern Neck is already hard at it. We had a signature speaker series this past winter. We're hosting a academic symposium this fall. This year, 2024, we'll focus on the indigenous Northern Neck. And then next year's will be hosted at Stratford Hall in the fall of 2025. So we'll have activities going on year round at Stratford and throughout the region focused on the 250th anniversary.
We're going to be hearing a lot about that. And we'll talk more about that when in focus and do some shows and talk about that, because Stratford's going to play a big role as it's being talked about around the region.
Indeed, yeah. With two signers, of course, growing up at Stratford, we're really excited to be able to commemorate this anniversary, and we'll be celebrating and hoping to announce some fun events, signature events, starting next summer.
StratfordHall.org, again, the website, Wine and Oyster Festival, 10 to 6 Saturday, 11 to 4 on Sunday, and get your tickets now, because what you get a little bit of a discount if you get them now.
You do indeed. They're less expensive online now in advance, Ted, than they will be at the door. Of course, we welcome last-minute walk-ups as well, but you can get yourself a little bit of a discount if you buy now. And again, we do still have some party tents available. We've also got some rooms available in lodging, so I think you can still get a room reservation.
Okay.
And breakfast, again, being catered on-site. So if you stay with us, you can start your day with breakfast before diving into the festival.
You can be pampered and have history around you and really have a great weekend this weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, we've, again, got a ton of delicious oysters and wineries on hand. We'll also have, again, some brewers and distilleries. So, I mean, just a quick highlight, we'll have Copper Fox Distillery with us and Ditchley Cider Works, which is local in the Northern Neck. We'll have Philip Carter Winery as well as Ingleside from just down the road in Westmoreland County. So, excuse me, a series of really incredible wineries and distilleries and breweries. For oysters, we'll have a ton of options for you. Nominee Bay Oyster Ranch will be with us. Salty Bob's will be with us. We'll have Baby Blue Oyster oysters as well. So lots of different oyster options. We would love to see you. And again, are so grateful, Ted, to our sponsors who helped make this happen. Our platinum sponsors, Clements Tents and Virginia Tourism Corporation. And then we've got a series of gold sponsors as well. Our local Four Elements Electrical. We've got local services and River City Golf Carts. We'll be zipping around in River City Golf Carts throughout the festival. And Richard Cottrell, one of our local dentists as well.
Again, it is a 10 to 6 on Saturday, 11 to 4 on Sunday, the Wine and Oyster Festival at Stratford Hall. Wine and oysters in Stratford Hall, it goes together, Karen Daly.
I think so. And Ted, as you mentioned, there's a great opportunity to bring your family. We're going to have barrel train rides and jumbo yard games for the kids. So lots of opportunity to sit back on your blanket, listen to some music, let the kids run around, play frisbee and some yard games while you're sipping your wine and enjoying your oysters. Bring mom and dad, too. It's a great intergenerational event.
StratfordHall.org, the Wine and Oyster Festival this weekend. Karen Daly, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Wonderful to be with you, Ted.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.